Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right. Today we have a special guest, serial entrepreneur Tony Segar. Tony will be discussing the benefits of finding local manufacturers and importers for your business. But before we get to Tony, just want to mention that we are broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you are watching this on a replay, just skip ahead. And if you're watching this on my profile page, you can always go over to Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and you'll see tons of content, more video highlights, as well as whole episodes. Now, Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, hello.
I'm just going to start doing this. That's my part. I smash things.
Yes,
smash.
That's right.
Ring bells. So,
ring bells, smash the like
interrupt
button.
My son.
Interrupt. Yeah, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
All right, yes, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. For
in Canada. Those
in Canada, yes, it is our Thanksgiving weekend. So yes, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holidays. And if you haven't already, like this video. I see someone already has. Thank you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Let us know where you're watching from. We're always eager to see where in the world you're watching. We've had guests from Australia, Malaysia, US, Canada. So it's cool to see. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, and a little thing, just the YouTube, it'll be anything that you see here goes directly up on YouTube. So if you missed out on some of the episodes, you can always find it on the YouTube channels. There's full episodes. Looks like Wasim is back too. Hello, Wasim.
Hey, Wasim. Yeah. I see
Marina.
Yeah, Marina.
From Victor. Canada. And Victor. It's too early to like, I don't know. All right, very nice. And yeah, this is a podcast, so you can find us on Lunch with Norm. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcast, you can find us, Lunch with Norm.
All right. You're getting very good at that.
I know, a little bit of practice.
All right, good. Yeah, and remember, if you have any questions, just feel free to put them in the content area or comment section, and we will get to them. If we can't get to them, we will definitely answer them after the podcast. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So, Tony, where are you?
Norman, how are you?
Hey, good, good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Oh, yeah. A former Canadian or fellow Canadian.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right.
So, yeah, getting ready, getting that turkey ready. But so, hey, Tony, why don't you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I come from a very strong retail background. About 15 years ago, me and my brother were at our peak here in the Greater Toronto area. We had a chain of bedding and bath furniture stores as well. And we were getting close to revenue of almost $10 million a year with 7 or 8 locations. And we just did not really see the rise of the internet coming. And sales really dropped. And we had to really change our whole strategy, you know. And from that sort of humble beginning did I learn everything. And I jokingly always say, like, would Walmart do FBA? could they do FBA, you know? And to me, it's been like the journey has been so sweet and special to make that transition from the retail space to online. It's been spectacular.
Well, I mentioned this just before the call that you had sent me a product and you sent it over to me and Kelsey can verify this. When I got it, I was blown away. We always talk about high perceived value and quality, quality packaging, just everything about the product. It was like you were doing 100% bang on. Literally, you know, from the packaging to actually building a community. And you were telling me that's actually what you try to do. And when you gave me like the instructions and it was personalized and it was such a great product. I don't want to tell everybody but what it is, but you know what? You just nailed it.
Thank you. You know, and to me, the best part of it is that product was made in Canada. A lot of times people feel when it comes to a lot of items like textiles, even furniture, it has to be made offshore. And that's not always the case. You know, what we can do is we can make a premium product and build better communities where we live. And I think that's more relevant than ever before in the age of COVID, that people have more concerns than ever before of where something is made, the standards, the quality behind it.
Right. So let's just dive right into that. So if you are looking for a new product, how do you go about finding local suppliers or vendors?
Well, I think before we can just look at, say, how to find it, I think we have to step back and say, why do we do it? You know, and once we answer the why, then it's easier to really find what you're looking for. And the advantages are just immense. Like when I step back and I look at the retail world that I come from, and the traditional model is people really just running off to China for every creative solution, it's not always the case because we have so many advantages when we source local. First of all, we know the standards, the certifications. You know, we know the fact that when you're sourcing local, you're going to have very shorter lead times. You know, so right now that's very relevant with the fact that people are having like a lot of shortages in terms of delays in getting stuff checked into Amazon, you know? And we step back and say, what are the other advantages in local? I mean, I can pay my suppliers usually on credit, anywhere from 60 to 90 days, which is amazing, right? And then those are like the starting point of some of those great advantages.
Hey, Tony, just to let you know, your internet is cut out. You've hung a couple of times during the call. So if it continues, maybe what we could do is just go to an audio call. But anyways, let's just continue on with that thought.
So, sorry, can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly. You were just hanging. The video actually was hanging for a second or two.
Okay. And like I was saying before, like we really need to look into our own purchases in our lives. That's where we start, right? What am I using? Can it be made locally? Can it be sourced locally? And that's really the starting point.
Right. And like one of my products and one of my better selling products, it's all made in the US and they have about a 1 week turnaround. I don't have to worry about inventory. And right now, like we talked about in my last podcast, it was about inventory. Inventory is king going into Prime Day and going into Black Friday. And if you can rely on a 1 week turnaround, man, you nail it. You don't have to worry about, you know, heavy expenses. And what you were talking about before, being able to go even 30 days, what that does for your cash flow over a period, over the, you know, a Prime Day or the fourth quarter helps tremendously to loosen up some cash.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would even add another advantage. There are certain suppliers I love to pay because I've negotiated a 10-day prepayment, 2% discount, which is great. So if on every $100,000, that's $2,000 directly in my pocket. And these are things that we can do when we source locally. You know, and it's about really building the relationships to figure out, can it happen? You know, and I think one of the things we're going to be talking about, and I was talking to Kelsey earlier, is about the amount of different government programs that are really meant to have investment in local. And the first one starts with that hiring program that I had sent you the information on.
Right. Yeah, so we were talking one day and you had mentioned that you had picked up one or two people at a very low cost. Yeah. And it was subsidized by the government. Now, we're talking about Canada right now, but US has probably got similar programs in the local community. A matter of fact, I know for a fact, well, you know Afolabi. So Afolabi, yeah. We've been able to go out and secure a warehouse based on just, you know, the government assistance. So there's money out there for people, especially if you're developing new products or wanting to create new jobs. You just got to find them.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, people really don't want to do the effort. They just want to have that easy link, you know, and everything's right there. And like Gary Vee had said, like, you got to really harness Google, you know, the information is there. And in this case, I have actually two people starting on Tuesday after the long weekend with this program. And I have made possibly a third. Currently, I have seven people on staff from this program. What they do is for 9 weeks, they will pay the minimum wage, $14 an hour for 30 hours a week. You know, and the best part about to me is the fact that they actually screen the people. So I'm getting quality people for graphic design, copywriting. I've got two virtual assistants. And the literally the amount of interview I'm doing has reduced. Unbelievable, because I get them to do a lot of the interviews that I need, and it's freed up a lot of my time. And I worked it out. It works out to almost $4,000 per hire. You know,
And after that, you can choose whether that you can basically use that as a probationary period, correct?
That's right. Well, this is an apprenticeship program. So we give them a letter of reference and so forth. And I have kept on some people because they were invaluable. And to me, there's so many advantages when we talk about local. When you have a VA and they're at the same, like just the same hour as you, you know what I mean? The same day, like, so you can communicate. It's not the next day. It's just fine. It just works so much better.
Yeah. And when you're talking now, we're, you know, not so much suppliers, but when you are talking local vendors or when you're bringing on local people so that you actually have an office, I love outsourcing. I do it all the time, but it's just that feel that you can go in, you can have everybody there. You can put up the whiteboards. It's different than Zoom, you know, and although I think I'm pretty good at holding meetings and delegating on Zoom. Yeah. It's just a whole different vibe if you can have actually somebody that you can look at eye to eye, not on Zoom, but but in a boardroom, or, you know, like somebody comes to work and you can, you know, have a discussion and it's not waiting 12 hours or there might be 3 hours or 5 hours difference. Who knows? But yeah, definitely a big advantage there.
Well, I'm in close contact with the coordinator of that program. And because I still have a retail store, they're actually a bit available to extend that. So the position doesn't have to be from remote. So I can get somebody to come in for the holiday season if I need warehousing, you know, moving shelves and things like that, which is great, you know?
Okay, I got to ask you one thing. Completely down a different rabbit hole.
Yeah.
There are people that ask me all the time about Canadian warehousing, and I don't sell in Canada. I sell typically US. Yeah. Do you have any warehouses that you can suggest in Canada for those that are selling Amazon.com that want to come up and explore .ca?
I do, but it really depends on the scale, right? Because I find typically to do well, you really have to ship it in directly from the source country to Canada, right? If you're trying to ship it from the US to Canada, you know, you could have double duties and extra shipping charges.
Right. Okay. Well, if you have any names, maybe what we could do is post them in the comment section after the podcast. All right. One of the other things, this is the nugget of the day. So, if you're listening, get ready to write this down. There is a program that very little people have heard of, and it's global. It's called Acadium. Okay, we'll post the spelling in. I think it's A-C-C-E-D-E-U-M or something like that. I failed spelling, but it's called Acadium, and you can source people locally in the United States, Canada, Mexico, pretty much any country in the world, and you'll get them for 3 months. It costs $289, and they work 10 hours a day, and you can specify exactly what you want. If it's a social media expert, copywriter, this is another area. If you don't have the access to, like, let's say what Tony's talking about, the access of these interns in Toronto, this is just a global program that's available. I've used it and I highly recommend it. So if you want to take a look at it, I'll talk to Kelsey after the podcast, pop it in there. And Tony, you might want to take a look at it.
Oh, I will, for sure.
And
for sure.
The people, I'm not talking about, you know, like some of these people are, like, I'm looking at some, like from Berkeley, from, and you talk about some of the top universities. They're in this program, and there's thousands of people. Even if you were looking for something like social media, copywriting, podcast editing. but you know what? Hayden does a great job. I'm not going to kick him out of his job yet. But
but you know what? I will say this. The first person to hire from our local program was this student at Harvard too. So, you know.
Very cool. Okay, now let's get back into the more of this the supplier side.
Yeah.
So let's go through some of the advantages of working with local factories other than the turnaround time.
Well, I think it's you can really get to understand the customer. You know what I mean? You can explore variations, other products much more quickly. You know, and I can't really emphasize enough the issue regarding safety, because I don't know if you remember an older episode of the AM podcast, AM PM podcast with Manny Coates, and he talked about this guy who had these glasses for the solar eclipse. I don't know if you remember that. And what happened was he could never compete because his glasses were made in the USA and they were double and triple the price. And all the Chinese product had fake certification. And it took him forever to figure that out and get it publicized to the media. And in the end, he just like how he went in 6 months to having millions of dollars in sales. And that's just like something that went viral. But what I meant, that's an extreme example of something we have to be very cautious of these days.
Yeah, so certification. Okay, are there any other advantages that you can think of right off the top?
The other one I'm thinking about, something we might not think about, is local lending as well. Now, a lot of people may have heard of seller funding, which is getting well known in the U.S. We have our own local version of it called Loop Lending. Now, they have a very similar platform, and this was this sort of platform was actually pioneered by another Canadian company that started by Michelle Romano called ClearBank, where they can give you an answer within 48 hours. Of your lending needs based on your history. And what I found great about it was not only was I offered a much cheaper rate than South of the Border, I was offered a lot more money as well. You know, and that to me, again, another local option. And just to let people know that anybody listening from the US, Loop is now actually lending to people in the US as well.
Okay, very good. We've talked a little bit about the government incentives. Would you like to add anything to that, or do you think we've covered that?
No, I think, you know what? The issue is that people really need to do more research on that, because it's very sector-specific, item-specific, you know what I mean? And you have to look into your local area. You could be in Australia. We don't know what's being offered. But there's a lot of incentives. People, the governments are really trying to keep people employed and active, and sometimes there's just things that aren't not well as well publicized, like what you just gave us, that great tip right there. Like, you know, I've heard of them, but I'd never actually tried them out.
Yeah, and some people don't think about other types of local packaging. So I've got a very good friend. I don't know if you know Central Packaging here in Mississauga, Rick Eastwood. Yes. He's brought in a machine that can do one box. He can do 50 million boxes. It's a huge company. And what his specialty is, or what he's trying to target, are all those e-commerce companies, Amazon sellers that have products in North America or are bringing products over that you can have a specialty package for. And the company, you would think it would be just crazy expensive, but they are competing with the Chinese pricing now because everything is so automated. So that's another area that people don't think about. Even if they bring in, okay, here's anti-fog glass treatment because it's so hot in this room, but put it in a nice box. It'll cost you, a few cents, but the perceived value goes up. Just like what you did, another Canadian thing was a Canadian packaging, but U.S. packaging. You don't have to go Chinese packaging to have an incredible package at a cost-effective rate. So one other part about local sources. We always talk about the handwritten letters, the handwritten notes. Well, that's another area that we can look at. And what we don't look at a lot of the times are the programs, the specialty programs that have sometimes people that have challenges. They might have a disability of some sort. It might be just not cut out for regular work. Well, there's all sorts of these programs that you can get people to help package, help kit and assembly, help do the personalized letters locally. Not only does it give people just a sense of where to go and work and, you know, just have this self-confidence, but it's also fairly inexpensive. And that's another area of local sources that a lot of people just forget about.
Yeah. You know what? It boggles the minds in terms of what we can actually achieve, you know, because I believe like the amount of manufacturing that's going to come back to North America, it's going to take time. It's going to take 15, 20 years, but we're going to see a lot more manufacturing. It's going to be targeted. And because people want to say, where is it coming from? And it can be cost effective as well, you know?
Right. Kels, I saw a question up there from Victor. What did that say?
Oh, yeah. He's commenting. So he's saying we're about to start separating the color box printing from our product manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And he was also saying about his Chinese supplier. He was quoted a 20-week production lead time from China. Normal is 8 to 10 weeks, and they had to compromise at 14 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's happening right now. And just think, okay, so we've got a double whammy, and we have the trifector. You've got the Prime Day, you've got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then you've got the Chinese New Year. And Chinese New Year is going to come. I mean, it's going to be crazy for inventory. And we just don't know how long it's going to take for Amazon to be able to receive all this stuff.
You know, Norm, I don't really go out shopping a whole lot anymore because of people are very cautious. When I go into the stores, the first thing that strikes me is how empty when I go into Costco, Home Sense, the shelf seems to be half empty. They're having supply shortages like crazy. And if things do get shut down again, it's going to be people online that are going to have that advantage. And right now there's a big rush to get every single order in, every stock in, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
We sometimes forget about, we think of Fiverr and Upwork and FreeUp and all these companies sourcing out to Ukraine, India, Philippines, but you can filter these. And like on Fiverr, here, why don't you take that? I know that you've used that filter, correct?
You know what? The person I have using my CEO right now, my SEO, I should say, I actually filtered on Fiverr for Canada, and he's based in Edmonton. He's doing an amazing job. And people wouldn't think, hey, Fiverr, you have to go to Philippines or India or Bangladesh, and you don't have to.
And a lot of the times when you're using, I usually say when you're using Fiverr, you get what you pay for. But if you do search and you do find people on there that are good and they can show you a really incredible portfolio, then why not hire them? Sometimes they're just looking for work. They might have been They might be just looking for work due to COVID, or they might just be out of college or university looking for a break. But that the filter I'm talking about is just search by country. And you'll be surprised that you might pay a little bit more. But I'll tell you that if you're working with somebody in the same time zone and you can communicate direct, instantly, back and forth, that saves sometimes that extra few dollars, you know, like you were saying, you know, 9 or 14 or whatever it is. It pays off. It pays off in the long run because of the ability for you to communicate instantly. So just not sure if a lot of people are using those filters, but it's not always, it's not always the cheapest that's going to get you the best.
Norm, let me ask you this. Are you using a Loom?
I'm not. No.
Really?
I've never heard of it, by the way. I've never heard of Loom. So
well, you can basic
check out.
Yeah, you can make a basic screen video, right? A screen share video, and then you just send them the link right away.
You know Loom. We use it all the time. It's the video editing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about funding. Okay, yeah. Of course. We use Loom editing suite. Yeah. It was Loop funding, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of similar.
Okay. All right. Yep. Loom is awesome, and it's free, and they have a premium version. Yeah, we communicate all the time with Loom with all of our people.
Yeah.
Now, what about like Honu provides sourcing? Like they're sourcing agents in China or overseas. But what about finding a local sourcing agent? Have you ever experienced that?
You know what? Some of my best-selling products, I actually get sourced locally. And in my case, because I have deep contacts for my industry and in my niche, where now this particular product, I just signed off and we're getting our third container coming in end of November. And the great thing is that because I'm working with companies that work with big companies like TJ Maxx and Costco and Loblaws and all that, I have the advantage of them taking care of it for me, and I don't have to put as much money down. Like on a shipment of that container must be $100,000, I put down 10%. You know, so it's very convenient. And I know because they have access to some of the best factories that I may not always get, they get me the pricing that I haven't been able to see. And to me, that's an advantage of local sourcing in a way, even when you're importing as well.
So do you have any idea on how our listeners can find local sourcing agents?
Sure. The key is to really look inside their niche. You know what I mean? And then go into Google. I use it all the time and find the sort of the related searches. You know what I mean? And then you want to find people that are really approachable. And first thing you want to do is see, are they already selling on Amazon? Are they selling online? Because if they already have a presence, you could still work together if it's not optimized. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, a huge American company. And I said to him up front, I go, you know what? You guys have an exclusivity where they only sell on Amazon. They don't want anybody else selling on Amazon. And their listings were really not optimized, you know? And it's that's how it is because of the fact that sometimes they have so many different streams of income. They're not always looking at that. But I'm looking at it as a business potential that, hey, maybe how I can leverage that to get in there. Maybe we can work some type of agreement. You know, but the key is you always have to be looking for those type of opportunities.
You know, in Canada, at least when we had our promotions company, let's say we found a shirt, it would have an RN number. That RN number is linked to a Canadian database. So the Canadian government actually has a full database of every category you can imagine of manufacturers. And it's at your fingertips. You have to find you just have to go to the RN database and they also have a book or they used to have a hard copy. And in the US, they have something very similar and I forget what it is. And I'm sure I can find it fairly simple, but There is a database as well of manufacturers. And also right now in the U.S., this is perfect timing for people to go out and look at U.S. Manufacturers. You'll probably get a discount. I can't tell you for sure if you will, but manufacturers are, and there's more manufacturers opening up now than ever before.
Yeah.
It's they want business. They want to take it away from China. I'll tell you a few, really great niches. Beauty. There are so many beauty and supplement. These are tough categories. So beauty, supplement, baby, pet. I sell bully sticks, they're all North American sourced. Now it's a commodity, of course, it's tough sell. But there's so many niches that you can look into. Again, into pets, you've got these antlers and really healthy quality pet food, raw food for pets. It's out there. You just have to explore it. Now, either it's frozen or Tony's face is permanently like that in awe of what I just said.
So, hopefully he'll be able to refresh. Unless it's us, maybe we're frozen.
Maybe.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. So we have a couple. We might need Tony to come back. Just hold on, everybody. But Dr. Kaz, we'll just go through the questions first. Hey, Tony, tell us your online footprint. So Amazon, Shopify, or Walmart, any new marketplaces you like? And does Tony have any tips for making wood-based products? Where would you go to make a product out of wood?
Okay.
So, actually, do you want to talk about the Facebook group as we were waiting for Tony to come back?
Yeah, sure. So Tony's going to come back on in a second. Those are both good questions. We'll see what Tony has to say about that. We're trying to come up with a Facebook group. We have a Facebook page. So, I said, why don't we just keep the page? Kelsey goes, because we can give so much more information. So we can provide files and, just a lot more access. I thought, well, okay, we could probably get a lot of the people that we have on the podcast in the group, and have it's not a Lunch with Norm group. I don't know what we're going to call it. Give us some names. But we want to really grow a community that is not just about Amazon. It's about online sales, digital marketing, social media, just what it will take to make your online business grow. So again, we're not going to be promoting any products there. If we could suggest, but it'll be without affiliates. These are just products that we use, different apps that we might be using. So it's just an area that Kelsey and I have been discussing. And, just give us some of your feedback. We've got a pretty solid community already. We just want to grow that community to make it better for everybody.
Yeah. Victor is asking the important questions. Will there be a secret handshake and a code word?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It'll be like the old Flintstones Lodge. Those of you who remember the Flintstones. So absolutely, Victor.
All right. I'm just going to make sure. See if Tony is emailing us. He should be back shortly. But yes, let us know what you think and if this is something that interests you. And if you have any more questions, please feel free to put it down, put it in the comments. Or if you have any questions for Norm, maybe about...
So now that we have a little bit of time, instead of me crawling up into the fetal position, which will happen in about a minute if you guys don't give me any questions. just feel free to shoot. If you have any questions about Black Friday or Prime Day or Amazon in general, just go ahead, guys.
Oh, and it looks like Tony is back. And just a second, I'll bring Tony up. But he said, yes, guys, yabba dabba do, Rod Econ. okay, we got lots of stuff coming up. But hello, Tony.
Hey, I apologize. My internet went out.
No worries. We're good to go. You do have a couple questions waiting in line for you. So are you ready to answer them? Okay. So first of all, Dr. Kaz, He's asking, what's your online footprint? Are you in Amazon, Shopify, Walmart? And do you have any new marketplaces you'd like?
Yes. I'm on Amazon.ca, which is our home market. Amazon.com, which is growing fastest for us. The thing with Amazon.com is literally, I just can't get the goods in quick enough. Some of our best sellers, we're at the point where I'm going to have to be getting containers coming directly from China next year. I can foresee straight to Amazon FBA or third-party warehouses. Shopify.
You mean China, the local suburb of Toronto?
Unfortunately, it is what it is, right? Certain items, you know, we just can't do it. But I'm still glad to admit the majority of our sales are still made in Canada, you know. And even the products that we do make in Canada are growing on .com as well. But it's a price point in certain issues. But where we're also growing, I'm seeing better quality sales and made in Canada products selling much better, and made in USA products selling much better is on our Shopify website. You know,
okay. Are you outside of Shopify? Any other markets?
We just started selling on Walmart in Canada, and I haven't seen a lot of response on that. And it's going to see what happens in the busier time, but it hasn't been a lot yet.
You just mentioned something about cost. Do you feel that the perceived value outweighs the higher price?
Oh, of course. That's how we try to get into every single launch, every single product. But the volume has to justify it. And one of the things in terms of local that I was going to discuss as well is the fact that I'm working with some local suppliers now to actually reduce shipping costs as well. So we're taking some products, like the same, for example, a product that I sent you, and we're actually going to be able to vacuum roll it or vacuum pack it. So my shipping on that particular product goes down from $18 to $20 to maybe $10 or $12.
Nice. You know?
And those are ways that I'm trying to really find local synergies to maximize the volume and scale it.
So you're thinking, no pun intended, outside of the box when you're doing packaging.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. No, that's a really great idea. Kels, any other questions?
Yes. So from Nathan, does Tony have any tips for making wood-based products? Where would he go to make a product out of wood?
Wood, ideally China or other countries. I mean, but you know what? The problem is there is a lot of certifications in wood. I haven't done too much in wood. Maybe Norm would know, could speak more to that.
Yeah, we used to bring in some wood-based products, and some of the problems we had was on curing. So the product would come in, it would look fine until we hit fall or winter, the product would split, and then there was a ton of refunds. And these were on some larger products, like clocks. So we found that was a big issue. Also, you have to fumigate wood to make sure that there's no bugs coming in. Now, a buddy of mine who's going to be on next week, Tim Jordan, I don't know the exact name of the YouTube video, but he recently did a video called Sourcing Wood. And it just kind of goes through all the certifications and everything. So you might want to just take a look at that. He can answer in detail, or you can wait until next week. And Tim's going to be on talking about fourth quarter sales.
Okay, and Marina, she said Taiwan might be good for wooden products. I'll go ahead. I'll try and find the video and put them in the comments.
Marina, you are bang on. That's where we were doing wood-handled stamps out of Taiwan, and we were able to source a very similar wood to maple and very inexpensive. And they've got some great quality wood there too. So, yep.
Okay, so from Renee, how do you source a good sourcing agent?
I would definitely say you want to really look at referrals. That's the number one thing, you know. People that hopefully that you're networking and you're talking to, that's the best, as opposed to like somebody randomly on Facebook where you really don't know their credibility. I think that's, for me, the best source.
Right. If you're looking for a local agent, for me, it's a little tougher to take a look at, but you might want to go to some sourcing companies that you like, well-known sourcing companies, and ask if they cover off North American products. That might be somewhere that you could look. Also, just going into the North America, like again, going back to Google and checking out North American sourcing agents and seeing what comes up.
Okay, let's see. I think we have one from Victor. I'm curious to know what a 4C color box and the size of a toaster oven would cost. China supplier is only dropping the unit by 25 cents for a naked product. I don't know if I can get it done separately for that.
Do you know the material?
Yeah, so Victor, can you let us know the material? And he's also saying Upwork is okay for finding sourcing agents, but you need to do your due diligence. And Simon's saying Sri Lanka is also good for wood.
Ah, I've never tried that.
Three ply.
You know, Victor, if you give me the exact dimensions on the product, I can give you an accurate quote. It also will depend on the quantity, right? So if it's a smaller quantity, or if it's a larger quantity, I can just let me know what it is and I'll ping you afterwards.
Okay, and we have one from Dr. Kaz. So what is your traffic drive strategy for Shopify?
For me personally, for Shopify, I outsource my expenditure on Google. And on Google, what I find the best, what really works the best is Google Shopping in terms of the rate of return, you know. And then we're doing all sorts of other retargeting from display, Google display ads and so forth. And now I think the last 6 months, even though they have a small percentage of the market, we're trying Bing as well. And I've seen results in that. And the other thing that I've spent a lot of time this year is organic traffic as well. So we're really building a really good stable of really good content blogs to drive traffic to the site and get it organically as well.
Yeah, high quality, 1,500 words or more.
Yeah.
Like Neil Patel says, if you're not the best blog or blog article out there, don't even bother publishing it. There's lots of different ways to drive traffic over to your site, Shopify site. A lot of the times, and this is kind of off topic, but some of the things that we do when we're driving traffic, either from Facebook, it could even be from YouTube, could be from any of the Instagram, any of the social media platforms, is that you drive them over to your Shopify site. You give them a deal that is something unique that they can't find on Amazon, but it might include one of the Amazon products. Then you give them a code immediately to go over to Amazon and buy your product. And so now you're getting two hits. So they're excited because they get this really great code, mm-hmm. and they get this value-added product. And that's something that you might want to do. And we talked about this at the last podcast, about driving traffic and how to drive traffic. So you might want to check that out. But anyways, yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can drive traffic, even on your inserts. You know, just getting people to come over to your page and give them something. I'm not talking about something like, just joining our loyalty program. Registration is another thing, but give them something of value. Like for me, like giving them a sample, like bar of soap, or a sample, like a smaller size, but they get it for free. Or like a free bar of soap that's not available on Amazon, or a new product, a conditioner, a bath bomb. So it is a value. So it's going to cost me a couple of bucks, but I'm getting their name. I'm going to, because it's recurring revenue, if I get them into subscription, I can always get them into, an upsell or a downsell or whatever you want to do it. But I'm always increasing that order value by just offering new product, offering additional product, a 3-month supply or whatever. There's all sorts of ways to do it.
So. You know what, Norman, I would just add that our number one Shopify conversion has been free gift with purchase. It just works so well that I'm having a hard time running out of the free gifts.
Yeah.
And it's great because you know, we're keeping the item at the same price as Amazon, but we're giving them a separate reason to purchase from us directly. And you're right, we get them into that funnel, we have their email, and we retarget to them, and we really get them loyal to that brand.
Something else to consider about, because today's topic is local, you might want to partner with a local company. And like I know, like for your product, I know a company that is perfect for you. We'll talk later.
Okay.
That you can offer a product that complements your product.
Perfect.
And you know, then you're both helping out the local community.
Yeah.
Now, Simon, I think I just saw something up there about Pinterest. Pinterest is awesome. If you're targeting, especially women, Pinterest has the highest average order rate of all social media platforms.
Yeah. So, yeah, we also have a couple more, if you don't mind answering them. Let's see. So Renee is asking about finding other sellers to partner with. So I'll go from the very beginning. So I'd love to partner with another supermarketer on Amazon with my product. It's a simple folding pet door insert in many sizes. And I have many customers in Canada. How do you seek out another pet product Amazon seller to partner with? So is there a way that you can reach out to Amazon sellers,
I guess? So when you were off, Tony,
okay,
we were asking people to drop in other questions. So anyways, this is one of them. So Renee, yeah, it's so, you know, once you start this, it's so easy to do and people just, you'll get responses right away. So with your product, you might want to talk to a company that'll give a free snack, like a bully stick or a beef tendon. It could be pet scent, because they're going into, let's say it's a dog bed or something. You might want to have a dog spray, or it could be a shampoo, or it could be, there's so many ways that you can do this. Now, you do not want to partner with a crappy company. So you, if you're checking it out on Amazon, let's see, you do that. Go out, check out the Amazon, like if it's in .ca, Amazon.ca, and see what's a top seller. You can also check the internet to see what are pet top sellers. You can check pet blogs and see what people are talking about. It could be a toy. There's so many ways of partnering with people, and then you just reach out, and they will fairly quickly.
Oh, I think
anyways, I hope that helps you out. Let me know if you want me to be more specific.
Okay. I think we cut out just a little bit during that. So if there's anything that you missed from that explanation, just let us know in the comments and we'll let you know. Okay. And we've got, I think, two more.
Okay.
We got Victor. Now that full contact information is forced to be included on Amazon listings, just find some complimentary product listings and reach out directly. And then one from Robert. Hey guys, does competition really matter on Amazon with everyone shopping online now?
What do you think about that, Tony?
Well, you know what? I'll give you an example. One of my best-selling items that we were talking about earlier, I found out recently that the competition turned out to be Amazon. It wasn't another third-party seller.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, I'm not as mad about it as I should be because of the fact that I can't keep my own product in stock. Everything is selling. But I think the issue is going to be going forward is, are you profitable? Can you make enough money? You know what I mean? Because we really have an uncertain future. We don't know what's going to be ahead in 2021.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul Barron just before this call, and we talk about a traffic blitz. So you're bringing external traffic either to your website or over to your Amazon listing. I have, Victor knows this, I have no problems, first of all, talking about my products. I have no problems competing with anybody. So to give you a great example, a friend of Kevin King is a good friend. And just as we were getting to know each other, we were in Hawaii. He was having a conference. I attended it. And anyways, we decided that we're going to go sit on the beach and have a cigar. During that conversation, I found out that he was selling the exact product I was selling. So anyways, instead of being the typical Amazon seller and being paranoid, we shared information. We talked about marketing strategies. We talked about, you know, different ways that we were driving traffic over to the page. We talked about packaging. At the end of the day, if Kevin's driving traffic over to the page or I'm driving traffic over to the page, then it's up to the individual to buy the product. I have no problem. And as long as it's the listing's optimized, you've got great quality images, that the titles and the bullets are good, that you've got it, you've got the back end optimized as well, then it's up to the consumer. And yeah, why fear competition? It's not a big deal.
You know, I will say this, my best Kevin story is I met him 2 years ago at, I think it was Scubana in New York. And it was great, just learning so much. And the best part is I got a special coupon code. So it helped me out, helped me a lot in a special software that we all use. And it's hard to get that code anymore. So it's just like, that's the power.
I thought you were going to say you bought his bully sticks. And
no, not that. I didn't get that far yet. But this right there, that's the power of marketing. I got 50% off on this software every month. And that saved me $1,200 a year.
Wow.
And look, that's what I mean, where we really want to reach out, network with people, and establish those kind of contacts.
Absolutely. Yep. And also, not only for Amazon service providers, but as a community, reaching out and working together, even if it's in this similar product, but let's say it's a pet category, there's lots of different ways to market pet product. And if you can help each other out, sort of an inventory of skills, then it just helps out you. And I mean, the multiplier, I don't know what it is, but I mean, if you're working with as a group, you know, with best interest in mind, then you'll see a lot more sales coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So are there more questions, Kels?
Yeah. So we have, with COVID, that means less trade shows in USA. How are US manufacturers able to find customers?
You want to handle this?
Well, for now, I think you would have a lot to say as well, but I would just say that you have to be really inventive. You know what I mean? You have to really look at the competition, see what's out there, not just online, but when you do go into a store, pick it up, where is it made, examine it, and that can lead to different things, making phone calls, doing a Google search. I think that's the place to start.
Don't forget to go to trade association directories. And yeah, if you're like, let's say the Pet Expo, for example, they'll have virtual trade shows still happening. So go to your niche, go to those associations or directories, and there's usually multiple associations or directories, and you'll be able to find something there. That's another way of doing it.
Okay, and I think that's it for now. I'll just read Renee's comment. So back to her product, I have a unique product and like to partner with another Amazon company to sell my product. I'm not good at marketing and it's a hot, unique product and I have them in stock.
All right, you talk to me, Renee.
I'm also interested too.
And that's it for questions, so, I think. We're at the 54 minute mark, just to let you know.
Okay, so I do have one thing for you, Tony, going back on to local suppliers. So are there any action steps people can take, you know, just a few that they can take to try to find a local supplier?
Sure. Like I said, really examine what your purchases are. You know, I mean, look at your own life, first of all, to see what have I bought Can that be local? You know what I mean? Because some things are made locally that you may not even have thought of. You know, I remember I was talking to Amy that we both know recently, and the product that she invented is made in the USA. You know, which is awesome. And I felt that, hey, even though even the competition is made in the USA, you still want to bring that out, because if nobody's marketing to it, you should. You know what I mean? Because you can't ignore that. And then it all goes back to, listen, since there's not a lot of trade shows, we can use Google to find the relevant suppliers, the relevant contacts, because of the fact that trade shows will come back, but it's going to take time.
Right. And even if you're doing product development, you can use companies like Gimba. And you know, Zach over at Gimba, he does product development. So you're still using local suppliers to develop the product, and whether you can get that done here or overseas, that's up to you at that point. But that's still sourcing locally.
Yeah, well, that's the key. I mean, think about the food that we like. I mean, we try to buy organic, locally sourced product as much as possible. And sometimes, you know, it can work in terms of a business model. Sometimes it can't. But the key is, I think I'm seeing a real difference in people's opinions, you know? I mean, like, normally I'd be traveling the world and I'd be in Barcelona, or I had just come back from an elephant sanctuary earlier in the year in Africa, which was amazing. And now, like, I'm really exploring Canada, you know, or local areas in Ontario where I've never been. And I think that's going to really translate to our whole lives, you know, in different ways that we just don't even know about yet.
Right. I'm just Gimba, I believe, is spelled G-H-M-B-A. I believe that is. And you're going to be talking to Zach over there. I will I'll put their website in into the chat after the podcast. Great company to work with. I've known the guys for about a year now. Very inventive. Like, wait till you see some of the products that they've done and developed. Okay, so I think, Tony, I think that's it. I think we've run out of questions.
Okay.
I know that we're short for time. Kelsey, is there anything else before we
end the podcast? Was Gimba the product development company?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I put it in the comment.
Okay, all very right. Good. All right, Tony.
Well, I want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys. You know, enjoy the family time and get out there. Enjoy to have some nice weather. If it's going to be beautiful, I hope.
I'll be out there having a cigar. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tony, for being on the podcast today. This is a different subject. I don't see it being talked about too much, too often, but I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your time.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right. You too, Tony. Okay, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us today. I hope you've learned a couple of things. Remember that website I talked to you about, it will be posted up after the podcast, called acadium.com, and that will save you a lot of time, a lot of money finding some interns, as well as make sure you source your local cities or states, provinces, for any government programs that are around. And that's it. Okay, Kels.
Yes, and if you haven't yet, please like and share the podcast. Does a lot just to get different eyes on it. I've also added the woodworking or the wood video from Tim Jordan.
Oh, great.
In the comments. Okay. So it should be available, I believe. I'll pull it up on screen right here. So this is the link for the wood. For I think it goes through tons of stuff about wood importing. But yeah, follow and subscribe to us. We are a podcast, so you can search for us, Lunch with Norm, on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, anywhere you get it. And thank you guys for listening. It's awesome. Got lots of questions today, lots of engagements. We love hearing from you. And if you ever want to say anything to Norma or I, I'll throw in my email. So it's just k@lunchwithnorm.com. So we'd love to hear feedback. And if you have anything you want to tell us, any topics, people that you think would be a good fit for the show, let us know. We're always looking. And I think that's it for me.
Yep. And we did get a request the other day for learning more about graphics and packaging. So yep. I'm going to find somebody to come on to the show to talk about that. So thank you for sending that over. So, all right. We have a newsletter.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, you always interrupt me.
I know, I'm the worst.
We have a newsletter. It doesn't suck. Subscribe. Tons of content. Tons of content. You're not going to see advertising. It's just content. It's going to be videos. It'll be some repurposed clips from different podcasts. It'll be a little bit about the other podcast, I Know This Guy, but also about just content marketing, press releases. It could be from Digital Marketer or Neil Patel. It's a variety of different articles we've come across that we're just publishing every Monday. And coincidentally enough, Tim Jordan is going to be on the podcast on Monday. So can't wait to talk to him. He's always a great guy to talk to. And Kelsey, did you want to say anything before?
Yeah, so I'll just quickly go through some topic ideas that we just got from our audience. So product search, inventory forecasting, selling books, affiliate marketing. So these all came from you guys. We're currently looking for them. But we also are getting some people, some comments. So Drew is asking, how do we subscribe to the newsletter?
Great. Oh, hey, Drew. Nice to see you. Okay, so all you have to do is either go to normanferrar.com or lunchwithnorm.com. And my dog is sensing that there's another dog in the house. anyways, go there. You'll see the subscribe, and you subscribe, and you'll get a newsletter every Monday sent directly to you.
All right, and we have some people. We have Melanie. Happy Thanksgiving, Melanie.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos. Should we have Jeff on the?
I talked to Jeff the other day. He says he's going to clear his schedule maybe next week. So,
all right. And Tim is better than Jeff. So, we'll let him know. And Marina, compliance is another topic to link into. I'll write that down right now. But
just keep them coming. Now, we do have the podcast is booked with some really great speakers for the next month.
Yeah, all the way to December 7th, I think.
Yeah, and we'll be having a couple of special episodes as well. So we're going to be talking about one subject that we'll be bringing Wilfred Lighthart on. We're going to be talking about ADA compliance with your website, which is a big topic. But we'll get into that. We'll get into a few other things. But thank you, everybody. And he has better
shorts. Okay. Better shorts than Jeff. Yeah. All right. Okay, I think that's it.
All right. So tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, noon Eastern Standard Time. It was great talking with everybody. Tons of questions. Thank you so much for engaging with us. We really want to build up this community. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great day. And for all the Canadians listening, Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. 100, 100, 100.